KXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News next on KIXI. The time is 10 p.m.
CBS News. Florida Republicans and Democrats begin going to the polls in the morning. I'm Jerry Landay, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. On the Republican side, President Ford is reportedly optimistic about his chances of adding Florida to his string of victories over Ronald Reagan. On the Democratic side, Jimmy Carter hopes to cut enough votes away from Wallace and Jackson to regain the momentum he lost in Massachusetts. Carter was busy in two primary states Monday, as correspondent Ed Rabel reports.
They sang Dixie for Jimmy Carter in Asheville, North Carolina, where he made his last campaign appearance tonight following a full day on the hustings in Florida. In one Florida appearance today, Carter reiterated his belief that his major opponent there, George Wallace, cannot be elected.
He can't get elected with 25%. He himself recognizes this. Because when he ran in 64, when he ran in 68, when he ran in 72, it never was to be elected president. It was to try to tie up the electoral process and to subvert the desires of voters to throw the election into the House of Representatives or in 72 just to send a message to Washington. So if he should be on the ticket of the Democratic Party, we would lose in November. And the Democrats know it.
Carter will campaign most of Tuesday in North Carolina before returning to Florida in the evening to await the outcome of that state's presidential primary election. Ed Rabel, CBS News, Asheville, North Carolina.
North Carolinians vote their presidential preferences on Tuesday the 16th. More politics after this.
America is celebrating its 200th birthday. Metropolitan Life has had more than 100. Which birthday are you approaching? At Metropolitan, we'd like to remind you that years and birthdays always pass by sooner than you think. If you want to be ready for the future, you have to prepare for it now. We've spent over a century helping people do just that, and your Metropolitan Insurance representative can do the same for you.
We're helping.
In South Carolina, the Democratic delegate selection process has reached the county convention level. Incomplete returns from Monday's conventions indicate the largest block of delegates, 46%, are uncommitted to any declared candidate. Among committed delegates, Governor Wallace so far maintains a 5% lead over Jimmy Carter. The results so far reflecting the alignment of caucuses on the precinct level on February 28th. Attorney General Edward Levy is to put new regulations into effect this month governing the activities of the Federal Bureau of Investigations. Representative Robert Drynan of Massachusetts said Levy submitted the regulations to the House Subcommittee on Civil and Constitutional Rights last week. The regulations, designed to prevent future abuses by the Bureau in the areas of domestic security, civil disorder, and improper use of the FBI by future presidents. Drynan complains that Levy's guidelines do not provide sufficient protection of civil rights. The Federal Reserve Board announced Monday that consumer installment debt in January jumped by the biggest amount in 18 months, much of that going into the purchase of new cars. Installment debt climbed by well over $1 billion, the growth of consumer credit purchases a major indicator of an improving economy. Investigators in North Carolina have identified five burned and bludgeoned bodies as members of the family of a State Department official in Washington. The five bodies were found in a pine forest last week. They're now identified as the mother, father, and children of Bradford Bishop, Jr. Bishop is Assistant Chief of the State Department Section for International Organizations. He is missing. Now this.
The Massachusetts primary is behind us now, and it was an important one for the Democrats, with Senator Henry Jackson coming out on top. Our next stop on the campaign trail is the Florida primary, where we'll see the Reagan forces on the stump trying to gather conservative backing in their challenge against President Ford. We'll also see how the Democratic contenders will fare in their bids for convention votes. I'm Neil Strauser, CBS News. Join me for coverage of the Florida primary this Tuesday, March 9th, on the CBS Radio Network.
I'm Stephanie Shelton, CBS News, with What's Happening Monday through Saturday on the CBS Radio Network. In recent broadcasts, I've reported on a summer school for the elderly, the impact First Ladies have on American life, and covered stories as varied as sequential birth control pills and victories and defeats for American women during International Women's Year. This year, we'll be covering more stories of interest to women and men alike on What's Happening Monday through Saturday on the CBS Radio Network.
The White House Office of Consumer Affairs wants to require automakers to sell their auto parts through independent body repair shops. An official of the Consumer's Office charging that the practice of selling crash parts exclusively through franchised auto dealers is at the root of a nearly 60% increase in the price of auto parts since 1973. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
From CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, the Weather Outlook. Partly cloudy or foggy tonight, considerable cloudiness tomorrow through Wednesday with an increasing chance of rain. Highs near 50, lows in the mid-30s. In downtown Seattle, currently 41, same at the airport. The barometer is rising. It reads 30.15. And taking a look at sports, no games scheduled tonight in the NBA or the ABA. College basketball, Kentucky beat Mississippi State 94-93 in overtime. Florida 94, LSU 81. Auburn beat Mississippi 103-88. Bjorn Borg won his $10,000 winner-take-all tennis match with Raul Ramirez, by default when the Mexican, down 2-1 and 3-0 in the fourth set, quit due to an injury. Buffalo's Bob McAdoo continues to lead Kareem Abdul-Jabbar of Los Angeles in the NBA scoring race. Kansas City's Nate Archibald is third. CBS Radio Mystery Theater next at 7 past
the
10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, amanuensis to those shadowy figures whose outre experiences are so faithfully related here at this point on your dial. Gambling, said George Washington, is the child of avarice, the brother of iniquity, and the father of mischief. But does that include a friendly little game? What happens to most friendly little games? Friends become enemies. Little becomes big. And suddenly, it isn't a game anymore. But enough of this moralizing. Deal the cards.
Who are you?
You know who I am. I am the Countess Anna Fedotovna.
But you're dead.
Yes, I am dead.
Then how can you be standing there?
Look at me. Can you doubt I am the Countess?
But you were buried this afternoon.
What does that have to do with it?
What does that have to do with
it? Enough. Enough of this meaningless chatter. Let us get down to business.
What? What business?
Mystery drama, The Queen of Spades, was adapted from the Alexander Pushkin classic, especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan, and stars Michael Tolan. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. To heights you dare to reach, to know you're all that you can be.
You seem to be in a hurry, sir. Yes, I am.
You are in a hurry.
Oh, yes.
Well, no doubt you're rushing down to buy a Buick Electra because you know that Electra has the kind of ride and comfort Buick's famous for.
That's right.
And because you know it's America's second largest selling full-size luxury car.
You got it. You got
it. So you're hurrying because you want to get there before the Electras are all gone.
That's very good. How did you know I was going to buy a Buick Electra?
Well, it was on the shopping list you dropped back there. You see, dozen eggs, quart of milk, Buick Electra.
Son of a gun, I forgot the pistachio nuts.
That's not on the list.
Well, I forgot them anyhow.
You know, traditionally, credit has been a man's realm. But today, as more women become part of the workforce, they are realizing the need to establish their own credit identity. And this is Gene King of the Council of Better Business Bureaus with a few tips for women who wish to establish a credit rating. First of all, open a checking and or savings account in your own name, even if you already have a joint account with your husband. Apply for and use at least two credit cards. Open a charge account in your own name at a local store and establish a line of credit at your bank. According to the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, applicants for credit must be judged on their own merits. And if you feel you've been unjustly denied credit, talk to the credit agency or the lending institution, and you just go there and find out why. And if you're not satisfied with their explanation, contact the regional office of the Federal Trade Commission.
Let us go back, perhaps 150 years, to the Moscow of Imperial Russia. And let us make the acquaintance of some handsome young officers who have been engaging in the second most favorite pastime of handsome young officers, a friendly game of cards. It is now 5 o'clock in the morning, and supper, or breakfast, if you will, is being served. The winners, of course, have better appetites than the losers, but the champagne is flowing freely, and soon the entire company is in good spirits.
Well, Namorov, this should be a lesson to me.
What kind of lesson, Tomsky?
Oh, never to play with members of the Horse Guards.
Oh, don't begrudge me a little financial success this evening. After all, you're the one who's lucky in love.
Oh. Luck, gentlemen, is merely the verdict of mathematics.
Hey, what's this? Hermann, are you still here?
Yes. It was an interesting evening.
Well, gentlemen, your attention, please. Now, what do you think of our friend, Lieutenant Hermann, here? For example, is it true, Hermann, that you have never held a card in your hand?
It's true.
Is it true that you've never made a wager in all your life?
It's the gospel truth.
And yet you come here every night and you sit till 5 in the morning and watch the rest of us play?
Yes, Hermann. Why?
Why? Gambling interests me very much. But I am not in the position to sacrifice the necessary in the hope of winning the superfluous.
Oh, that's Hermann. That was spoken like a true German.
Yes, my father was German, and he was a prudent man.
Hermann, I'll wager you still have the first ruble your father ever earned.
Yes, Hermann, is it true that your father left you a million?
Oh, it's all very well for you to talk, Tomsky. Your father is a prince. You have estates, you have serfs. But I must live on my salary.
Well, if that's the kind of living that pleases you.
Well, it's easy to understand our fanatically economical friend here, but there's one person who has me completely baffled.
And who is that, Tomsky?
My grandmother, Countess Anna Fedotovna. She absolutely refuses to play cards.
Well, what is there so baffling about an old lady of over 85 who will not gamble?
Because this particular old lady knows the secret.
What secret?
I thought that would fetch you, Hermann.
No, what secret?
The secret of how to win.
The secret of how to win?
How to win each time you play. How to win as if you could actually read the back of the cards.
There is no such secret.
Ah, now I'm about to tell the secret. Pay attention, everyone, now. Some 60 years ago, my grandmother paid a visit to Paris, where, naturally, she created a sensation. She was hailed as the Muscovite Venus. The visit was a triumph, except for one little detail. Grandma lost her entire fortune, 1 million rubles, at a gambling house run by the Duc d'Orléans. Think of it. 1,000,000 rubles in one night.
1,000,000 rubles in one night? Impossible.
Ah, that's precise, unpractical Herman rebelling against the very idea. But believe me, it happened. Now, to continue. There was Grandma ruined, but she had made the acquaintance of a rather remarkable man. I dare say you've all heard of the fantastic Prince de Saint-Germain. He was known to be fabulously wealthy, and he paid Grandma a visit. He was curious to see the lovely Muscovite Venus, who was even more beautiful in distress.
Will you get to the point of the story?
Well, my grandmother asked him for a loan. And you know what he said?
He said no.
Oh, you would have said no. But he said, Your Highness, I could advance you the sum you require, but I know that you should not rest easy until you had paid me back. However, there's another way out of your difficulty. A way that will allow you to win back your money at the gambling table. And in return for one of your dazzling smiles, I shall reveal it to you.
Was that all he wanted? One of her smiles?
Oh, you forget. This was a Frenchman. And those people invented chivalry. At any rate, he told her a secret. I almost believe I would sell my soul to know that secret. But armed with it, my grandmother returned to the casino, chose three cards, and played them one after the other. All three won. And my grandmother recovered every ruble she had lost.
Well?
Well, what?
What were the three cards?
That's the secret.
You have a grandmother who knows how to choose three winning cards at Faro, and she refuses to play?
That's correct.
But why?
That's also a secret.
Well, haven't you ever asked her to tell you the secret?
Oh, I ask her every day.
And what does she say?
She says, no.
I realize that I am somewhat of a comedic figure to my brother officers. I am tolerated rather than accepted. That is because I am different. They call me Herman the German, and it's quite a joke. But I do not mind their laughter, because the things they laugh at in me are precisely the things they lack in themselves. Seriousness, thrift, practicality, and character. Oh, yes, character. For I also have a weakness. Gambling. I would love to wager on the throw of the dice, the turn of the cards, the thrill, the excitement, the fever in the blood. But no. I control myself. And yet, if I knew the secret, Tomsky's grandmother's secret, what are those three cards? Suppose I could get her to tell me the secret. But why should she tell me? She won't even tell it to her own grandson. But is it true? Can there be such a secret? No, I shall not think about it any longer. I shall dismiss it from my mind.
No, it's you, Herman.
Oh, I see you are about to go out. Let me call on you another time.
No, that's quite all right, old man, if it's urgent.
Well,
yes.
Hang it all, I don't know how to say this. Tomsky, could you introduce me to your grandmother, the Countess Anna Fedotovna?
You wish to be presented to my grandmother? Why?
Well, she is, without a doubt, the most famous noble woman in Russia, the Tsarina aside. And she goes way back to the ancient regime. I thought I would like to pay my respects and,
And yes?
And perhaps I could ask her to tell me the secret of the three winning cards.
You'll ask her to tell you? Oh, that would be a treat.
Will you do it?
My good fellow, I wouldn't miss it for the world. As a matter of fact, I'm going there right now, so come on along.
I've never seen such magnificence, such splendor. The The painting, the statues, the carpets.
Oh, this is just a hovel. You should see her palace in St. Petersburg.
And so he gazed deeply into her eyes and saw his own soul. And he knew that in her love lay his salvation.
We'd better wait outside the door. Lizaveta is still reading to her.
Well, go on, Lizaveta.
But that's the end, your ladyship.
A charming girl, poor Lizaveta.
The end? How can it be the end?
A distant cousin, too bad she has no dowry.
I'm sorry, your ladyship.
So she is my grandmother's companion.
Buy me a new novel.
As you say, your ladyship.
I want to go out driving. Why aren't you dressed?
Well, I thought we would read this afternoon.
Order my carriage this moment.
Yes, at once.
Come quick before they leave.
Grandmama and Lizaveta.
Well, you scoundrel. You've finally decided to favor an ugly old lady with a visit, have you?
Ah, Grandmama, you are and always shall be the Muscovite Venus. May I present Lieutenant Alexei Petrovich Hermann. Mm. And my grandmother's companion, Lizaveta Ivanovna.
Charmed.
How do you do?
And what are your duties in the military service, Lieutenant? If you are a friend of my grandson's, I dare say they are wenching, drinking, and gambling.
Oh, no, Grandmama. Lieutenant Hermann is very serious and sober. As a matter of fact, I brought him here because he has a request to make of you.
Indeed.
Well, you said you wanted to learn a certain secret.
Secret? Secret? What sort of secret?
Go ahead. You might as well, old boy.
Your Highness, please hear me out. I'm a very sober person, a hard-working person. Your nephew will bear me out.
Oh, yes, it's true.
I was born poor. Oh, respectable. Indeed, my father was a member of the merchant class. But he never had much luck, and therefore I was left with very little, and so...
Well, on with it. On with it.
I need a considerable sum of money. Not just for myself, but for the chaste and pure woman I shall someday meet and marry.
And what has this to do with me?
What has this to do with you? Well, your ladyship, Highness, you can make it all come true.
Indeed? How?
I could win my fortune at the gambling table if you will tell me the secret of the three cards.
If I will tell you... If I will tell you... Oh, this is too much. Oh,
please, madame.
Did you hear him? Oh, he's a rare bird, all right. But what can you expect from a German? Oh, why should I tell you? Oh, no. I must control myself. But I can't. I can't.
Well, Herman, I'm sorry.
I thought it was a perfectly reasonable request. And I don't like to be laughed at.
Well, perhaps if you'd worked up to it gradually.
I thought I had built up a case.
Well, I mean, if you'd waited until you'd gotten to know her a bit better.
There's no time. She's an incredibly old woman. Why, she could be dead in a few days.
Poor Herman.
And stop saying poor Herman. But that was my name. I had become poor Herman. Tomsky isn't a bad fellow, but who can resist telling a funny story? Well, I didn't see anything funny in it, but everyone else did. I may not have a sense of humor, but what I do have is a sense of determination. And I have determined to learn the secret of the three cards. And I shall learn that secret. After all, I asked her once, and I asked her politely. I asked her the way a gentleman should. She laughed at me. Well, there are other ways. Yes, indeed. Laugh, my lady. Laugh, my friends. But Lieutenant Alexei Petrovich Hermann will yet have the last laugh on all of you.
And once or twice to throw the dice is a gentlemanly game. But he does not win who plays with sin in the secret house of shame. Since we're involved with gambling here, we thought we'd express some of Oscar Wilde's feelings on the matter. Well, we have the incredibly old countess who says no, and the incredibly insistent young Herman who says yes. The collision course is set and ready for Act Two.
Headquarters, St. Louis, Missouri.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. The book of Job says this about dreams. God speaks first in one way and then in another, but no one notices. He speaks in dreams and visions that come in the night. When slumber comes on mankind and all men are asleep in bed, then it is He whispers in the ear of man, or may frighten him with fearful sights and turn him away from evil doing to save his soul from the pit. So listen to your dreams. They could guide you to new and positive directions. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
Success, we are told, is a secret, a magical secret, a mysterious key that unlocks the door to wealth and happiness, to love and everything the heart will desire. And so many of us devote our lives to searching for the secret, the fabulous formula, the trick, the gimmick. And this is the present occupation of Alexei Petrovich Herman, a lieutenant in the engineering battalion of the Tsar. Did I say occupation? I should have said obsession.
Yes, I was determined to wrest that secret from that hideous old hag by fair means or foul. But how? She would no longer receive me. And even if she would refuse to divulge the secret. I would have to force it out of her. I would have to be alone with her, alone. But how could I ever manage to be alone with her? I wrestled with the problem. I even went to church to pray for the solution. And of course, when one prays with a sincere and earnest heart, his prayers are usually answered. My prayers were answered, and the how was revealed to me. She was sitting there just up ahead of me. The servant girl. No, not the servant girl, the companion. What was her name? Lizaveta Ivanovna. She is the how. I shall make a declaration of love to her. But how do I do that? I have never spoken of love before.
You in love? Is it possible? Well, who is the young lady, the fortunate object of such overpowering adoration?
Will you or won't you help me?
Of course I will, old fellow. How?
Well, that's it, Tomsky. How? How does one tell a girl one is madly in love with her?
One says, I am madly in love with you.
Is that all there is to it?
Well, one either says it directly or one hides it in the midst of a flowery speech. Which method would you prefer?
I'm a direct sort of person, but I think I would, for the first time, use a flowery speech.
Well, here is a novel by the famous Valentinian Protopopov. Browse through it. It contains all the ammunition you need.
The butler sent me up to see you, mademoiselle.
He did? Why?
Oh, because I have a letter for you.
For me? Well, there must be some mistake.
You are Lizaveta Ivanovna Surin, are you not?
Yes. But I don't know anyone who would write to me.
Well, this is your name on the envelope, and I was instructed to give...
For me, a letter? Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I am touched to the very depths of my soul by your charm, your beauty, your goodness. The light of heavenly angels shines from your eyes. I am the dirt under your feet. I am nothing. I am no one. And yet I dare to aspire, to dream, to hope. Oh, my beloved, speak the word that raises me to paradise or hurls me into the pit.
Lizaveta Ivanovna.
Please, I...
Lizaveta Ivanovna, have pity on me.
Your pity? You're the one who should have pity on me. I'm a poor girl.
Poor? Your condition of life is even higher than mine. My father was merely a merchant. Your father was a state counselor.
He died penniless.
It doesn't matter.
It matters. I have no dowry.
It doesn't matter. I love you.
And soon you would hate me.
Oh, I swear by my soul.
You would be in debt. There would be no money.
I swear by my hope of salvation.
Your creditors would haunt you.
I must have you, Lizaveta Ivanovna.
And you would think I, a handsome young officer, I could have made a wealthy match.
Lizaveta Ivanovna.
Please, Lieutenant. I am sorry. It cannot be. My beloved. Your coldness, your indifference shall not chill my heart. A poor flower worships the sun. And if the sun is unaware of its adorer, does that lessen the adoration?
Dear Lieutenant Herman, what you propose is impossible. I have the honor to remain Lizaveta Ivanovna Surin.
I long for you, as one who has spent weeks in the burning desert yearns for water. Please, I beg you, cool the fire that flames in me.
You must forget me, because it is impossible for us to marry.
How goes your secret love?
She refuses to see me, Tomsky.
That's to be expected.
But she is unmovable.
That's a good sign.
How?
A woman is always at her most yielding when she's at her most stubborn.
None of my letters seem to have swayed her in the slightest.
Ah, but she answers them, doesn't she?
Well,
as long as you receive an answer, there is hope.
But the answer is always no.
Be determined. Keep writing. Something will happen.
But what?
Oh, I don't know. Something, anything. She'll be stung by a bee, or she'll smell a beautiful rose, or someone will say a kind word to her, or a cross word, and suddenly she'll burst into tears and...
And what?
And she'll fall into your arms.
Oh, my. Oh, my goodness.
Well, there you are. Thank you. For deciding to waste some of your precious time on me.
I'm sorry, sir. Your ladyship, I didn't hear you ring at first.
What's wrong with you these days? Forever sighing and mooning about. Are you ill?
No, your ladyship.
Order the carriage. What sort of weather is it?
A calm and sunny and warm.
Oh, you never know what you're talking about. I feel cold. It must be snowing and freezing.
Yes, your ladyship.
Now, where are you going?
Well, to order the carriage.
To order the carriage? Whatever for?
But your ladyship just told me
what to order. What has happened to your senses? Would I want to go driving about in a snowstorm?
No, the sun is shining.
Don't you dare contradict me.
No, madam. Shall I read to you?
Read to me?
Yes.
Really, my girl? Didn't I tell you to order the carriage?
Oh,
Lizaveta Ivanovna! You come back, Lizaveta! Oh, now what's gotten into that fool of a girl?
convinced that your intentions are honorable. I believe your declaration of love. And I see you as the knight in shining armor I have always yearned for. Oh, how I long to be my own mistress and not the terrified creature of a tyrannical old woman. Come to me. Save me. Tonight, the Countess and I shall return from a ball at the French embassy at midnight. The servants shall all be asleep. I will see that the small gate at the rear of the house will be open. Enter and then go to a rear door. Once inside is a staircase that leads up to a hallway. The first door is the Countess's bedroom. The second is mine. Remember, I love you and rely upon your honor.
Who is in this room?
Do not be alarmed. For heaven's sake, do not be alarmed.
Who are you?
Lieutenant Herman. You remember me?
How did you get in here?
It doesn't matter. You can ensure the happiness of my life.
Go away. Go away.
You can name three cards.
Three cards?
Three secret winning cards. How to call them. The secret told you by the fabulous sorcerer, the Prince de Saint-Germain.
There are no cards. There was no prince.
Tell me the secret.
It was a joke. Do you understand? A joke.
Tell me the three winning cards.
There are no cards.
For whom are you keeping the secret?
There is no secret.
For your grandson? He's rich enough without it.
I tell you, young man, there is no secret.
You're old, as good as dead. Why do you refuse? Why?
Because...
Reveal the secret. And not only shall I bless you, but my children, my grandchildren shall revere you as a saint. Well? Speak, you horrid old hag. Speak or I'll blow your brains out.
There is no secret.
You think I'd hesitate to kill you? I have a pistol. See?
No, no.
All I have to do is pull back the hammer. So. You hear it click? All I need to do now is pull the trigger. And I will pull the trigger if you don't...
No!
Lieutenant Herman, what are you doing? What are you doing with that pistol?
I didn't... Kill her. You can see that. She just died.
Death? The Countess is dead?
Yes, and I am the cause.
You?
Yes. She knew about three secret cards which would always win at Pharaoh. I came here tonight to make her tell me.
You came here tonight? But I thought you had come here to see me.
I had intended to see you afterward.
Then you don't love me.
No, I do love you.
All you wanted was to gain admission to her bedroom.
No, only to gain the financial foundation and security for our marriage.
You're a monster.
No, I had no intention of killing. Look, my pistol isn't even loaded.
Now I look at your face. I see the devil himself. Please, leave. Go.
No, I hope to have the honor of calling on you in the future, dear Elisabetta.
I never want to see you again.
I'm sorry it all turned out the way it did. But one must accept the good with the bad. I decided that I had better attend the funeral services. My friend, Lieutenant Tomsky, was touched. Sincerely touched.
Herman, old man, it's kind of you to take the time.
Oh, she was a great lady. I've come to pay my respects. May I approach the coffin with you?
Of course, I'm very grateful to you. Well, there she is. Looks just the same as she did in life.
Huh?
Herman. Herman, what is it?
No. Oh, no.
No, Herman, look at her. He's fainted.
Where am I?
In your rooms, Herman.
What happened to me? Oh, I remember. I fainted. I I saw...
Well, what did you see?
You must promise not to laugh at me.
I promise.
She winked at me.
She what?
She winked at me.
Oh. Oh.
You say that as if you think I'm crazy. I'm not. I'm the sanest person you know.
But the old countess, my grandmother is dead.
I know. But she winked at me.
Right, if you say so.
I don't care what anyone says. I looked at the old countess lying in her coffin, and suddenly she darted a kind of mocking look at me. And with her left eye, she winked. And that's the truth. Is someone knocking at the door? Well, stop your knocking and come in. Come in, the door's open. Who are you?
You know who I am.
No.
I am the Countess Anna Fedotovna.
But you're dead.
Yes, I am dead.
Then how can you be standing there?
Enough of this meaningless chatter. Let us get down to business.
What? What business?
Business. Isn't it remarkable how much business of all kinds we can have with each other and how suddenly it all ceases when one is dead? For the dead have no business. Isn't that true? And yet, here is a lady, freshly deceased, who has suddenly introduced a matter of business to our hero. The nature of the business? Well, you know you'll have to wait for Act 3.
Come see, there is good news round the corner. Goodyear, wherever you are. Goodyear, good and close to home for more Goodyears in your car.
This week, let your Goodyear service store align the front end of your U.S.-made car for just $11.88. Goodyear's precision equipment assures an alignment that can really help increase tire mileage. Come in for this $11.88 value now. Parts extra, front wheel drives excluded.
Goodyear tires and Goodyear service car.
What
good years in your car?
The old gray air, it ain't what it used to be. Ain't what it used to be. Ain't what it used to be. The old gray air, it ain't what it used to be. Many long years ago.
Keep your car in tune, your furnace working properly, and never burn trash. This reminder from your lung association is a matter of life and breath. This is a message to some very special people. They're special people because even though they may feel fine, they're dying. They're people who have high blood pressure and aren't treating it seriously. If you're one of these people, take a few seconds to listen to some statistics. They may help you add years to your life. Insurance companies have found the higher your blood pressure is, the more years you can subtract from your life. For example, if your blood pressure is 140 over 95, subtract 9 years from your life. And if it's 150 over 100, you could die 16 years too early. Here are a few more numbers to think about. If you don't treat your high blood pressure, chances are 3 times greater that you'll have a stroke, and almost 5 times greater that you'll suffer from congestive heart failure. But you can lead a longer and healthier life if you treat your high blood pressure seriously. See your doctor. Get back on your treatment. Treat your high blood pressure and live. A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Accidents happen. And accidentally, Lieutenant Herman has caused the death of Countess Anna Fedotovna. But seemingly, the elderly countess, or should we say the late countess, harbors no grudge, because here she is, visiting him in his rooms the day after her funeral. Is such a thing possible? Well, don't take my word for it. Listen for yourself.
But you're dead.
We have already established that.
Dead people simply cannot leave the grave.
Have you ever been a dead person? Have you...
Well, no.
I have been ordered to grant your request.
My request?
The three secret cards.
Yes?
Your three secret cards shall be, listen, 3, 7, 8. They shall be dealt to you. They shall win for you. Do you understand?
3, 7, 8.
These are the conditions. You must play one card and one card only on each of 3 successive nights. Understand?
One card only on 3 nights in succession.
How much money do you have?
My father's inheritance. 50,000 rubles.
Very well. Cash it in. Bring the 50,000 to the casino. Bet on the 3. You will then have 100,000. The following night, bet the 100,000 on the 7. You will then have 200,000. On the final night, bet the 200,000 on the 8. You will walk away with 400,000 rubles.
400,000?
And when I say walk away, I mean walk away from cards forever. You must never gamble again as long as you live.
Oh, yes, yes.
And one more thing. I shall forgive you my death if you marry my companion, Lizaveta Ivanovna.
Well, of course. Of course.
Remember your 3 magic cards, your 3 secret cards are 3, 7, 8. Goodbye.
Herman, my good friend, I came as soon as I received your message. Are you feeling all right?
Well, yes, yes. Are you playing cards this evening?
Oh, yes, of course.
Where?
At the usual place.
Captain Namorov's?
Yes, he attracts a crowd of good fellows and he sets an excellent table.
Yes, but I noticed the stakes are rather low.
Low? A 25-ruble limit? You call that low? Well, I compliment you, my wealthy friend.
Where can one go to find a rather, well, a game with a higher limit?
Well, I do have a millionaire friend. Let's not beat about the bush, so why not? Let's go to the top. Let's visit Count Chekalinsky.
Count Chekalinsky?
Oh, he spent his entire life at the table. He's won millions. This is where the true gamblers go. Royalty, nobility.
Could we go?
Oh, everyone is welcome. But everyone is expected to play.
I intend to play.
Count Chekalinsky, may I present my good friend, Lieutenant Herman.
Ah, I am honored to make your acquaintance, Lieutenant. Well, do not stand on ceremony. Please make my humble home yours.
That morning, I had gone to the banker who administered the principal sum of my inheritance, and against his strenuous objections, cashed in the entire amount. I was so sure of myself, so full of confidence that my fortune was made. But here once again, I wasn't sure. Was it a dream? Did the old lady come back from the dead, or was it my imagination? And then I heard her voice.
3, 7, 8.
And all my doubts were conquered.
Very well, gentlemen. Who will join us for this bank? You, General? You, Monsieur? You, Admiral?
Will you allow me to take a card, Count Chekalinsky?
Oh, with pleasure, Lieutenant Hermann. And now, gentlemen, your stakes, Lieutenant.
I stake 50,000 rubles on one card.
Oh, my.
Gentlemen, please. Allow me to inform you, Lieutenant, you are playing very high.
Am I?
If you will forgive me.
What now, Count?
While I am quite convinced your word is sufficient, but for the sake of the order of the game,
I must ask you to put your money on the card.
I have a note of exchange from the banking house of Rostov. Is that acceptable?
Completely. Let me look at your card.
You have been dealt a three, Herman. Do you realize you've wasted 50,000 rubles on a three?
Quiet. The count is about to deal himself a card.
The dealer has a deuce.
It's incredible.
I believe my three beats your highness's two.
Yes, Lieutenant, your three has beaten me. Shall we continue? Or do you desire a settlement?
If you please.
What luck! What fool's luck! Now, look, Herman, promise me one thing. You'll never gamble again.
Oh, I intend to go back tomorrow.
But why? You've won 50,000 rubles. Do you realize that?
And tomorrow I shall win 100,000 more.
You mean you intend to double your bet?
Of course.
Herman! You don't know what you're doing.
I slept the deep sleep of the just. I awoke late, breakfasted, attended to a few details, and as evening fell, summoned a carriage and returned to Count Chekalinsky's palace. As I entered, all conversation ceased. Every eye turned toward me. The Count himself came forward and took my hand.
Good evening, Lieutenant Herman. And what is your pleasure this evening?
I wish to wager. Shall you accommodate me?
Of course. This way, please.
Three, seven, ace.
Three, seven, ace. It's for Dane.
Ready for the deal, Lieutenant Herman?
Ready. I wager 100,000 rubles. Accepted?
Accepted. Your card? My card. I have a six.
I have a seven.
I see. Shall we continue?
I should prefer to receive my winnings, if you please.
Of course. Here you are. Your 100,000 in cash.
Thank you. Till tomorrow evening?
Till tomorrow.
You're not going back there. I won't let you.
My good Tomsky, by now it should be apparent that I know what I'm doing.
Herman, you have 200,000 rubles. Isn't that enough?
It's just half of what I need.
Half? Do you intend to wager the entire 200,000 on one?
Of course.
Well, you are a man of iron, a man of ice. 200,000 rubles on the turn of a single card. You are also insane.
My good friend, I simply cannot lose.
Your stake, Lieutenant Herman?
My stake is 200,000 rubles.
Lieutenant, I must remind you, this is a fantastic wager.
Can you cover it?
Of course.
For a moment, just a fleeting moment, I felt that twinge of doubt. Was it luck? Could it turn? No. No, the old countess had told me about the three cards. She was right about the three and the seven.
Are you afraid to double your fortune, you fool? Didn't you commit murder for those three cards?
Yes.
Three, seven, ace. Stake your fortune on the last card. How can you lose? You are destined to draw the ace.
My stake is 200,000 rubles.
Covered. Your card? My card. My card is a king.
My ace beats your king.
Your queen loses.
My queen? I have an ace. I don't have a... But you...
You said I would have an ace.
I beg your pardon. Oh,
did I say that?
An ace? An ace? I was supposed to have an ace.
You have a queen, Lieutenant. You see? The queen of spades.
Oh, it's not the queen of spades. It's the countess. The countess. The old countess. Look at her. Look at her. Listen. She's laughing at me.
They know how to win, these young fellows, but not how to lose.
It's not the queen of spades. It's the countess.
Whoever, whatever it was, poor Lieutenant Harmon went out of his mind and is now confined in room number 18 of the Obukhov Hospital, where he constantly mutters 3-7-ace, 3-7-queen. As for Lizaveta, she married Lieutenant Tomsky. See how unpredictable life can be? We're only sure of one thing, which is that I shall return in just a few moments. Allstate asks, do you own a small business? Go over these questions with your present group health and life insurance agent. If your agent doesn't say yes to every one, then
talk to the good hands people.
First question, does your present major medical benefit keep on paying no matter how expensive the accident or illness becomes? If not,
talk to the good hands people.
Is your present plan designed to pay up to 95% of hospital expenses? If not,
talk to the good hands people. You're in good hands with Allstate.
See your Allstate agent to find out what an Allstate plan costs, what is and isn't covered, including benefit reductions and terms under which insurance continues in force. Allstate Insurance Companies, available in most states to businesses that qualify. Secret of the three cards. The secret, which turned out to be no secret at all. And if you want to apply that lesson to life, how many secrets actually do exist? How many mysteries, on closer examination, prove to contain absolutely no hidden meanings? Is life a simple affair that we attempt to complicate? Well, seven times each week, we try to answer that question, and who knows, one time we might actually succeed. Our cast included Michael Tolan, Ann Shepherd, Ian Martin, Bryna Rayburn, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Why do you say that?
For some purpose, this man of science is making a study of you. I know that look of his. I have seen that cold illumination as he bends over a bird, a mouse, a butterfly, which, in pursuit of some experiment, he has killed by the perfume of a flower. Now, if you know him not, how should he know you?
I would only be surmising, and it is a subject I would rather not pursue.
And an acquaintance you had better not either, for heed me carefully, Signor Giovanni. I would stake my life that if you are not already one of Rappaccini's inhuman experiments, you are marked for it.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Allstate Insurance Companies and your nearby Goodyear Auto Service Center. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams. Thank you.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook, considerable cloudiness tomorrow through Wednesday with an increasing chance of rain. The highs near 50 and lows in the mid-30s. In downtown Seattle currently, it's 39 degrees.
Filling the air with bright and beautiful music. KIXI, Seattle.
It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. Another Tuesday, another primary, another possible turning point for Campaign 76. I'm Eric Engberg reporting on the CBS Radio Network. This time, the spotlight turns to Florida, the first southern state to hold a primary. On the Republican side, Ronald Reagan had looked to Florida as a critical state to win, but Neil Strauser reports from Orlando that President Ford's backers are sounding unusually confident.
Several weeks ago, Ronald Reagan's state campaign manager was predicting a 2-1 victory for Reagan. Now President Ford's state campaign manager, Representative Louis Fry, is saying that anything less than a victory for Mr. Ford would be a defeat for him. The changing tide of optimism was evident in Orlando when Fry and White House political coordinator Rogers Morton met newsmen. Morton saying, "It looks so good, I'm afraid to predict it," and dismissing Reagan camp charges that Mr. Ford is using the powers of his office to political advantage.
There's no way to bring Gerald R. Ford in here and leave the mantle of the presidency in Washington. There's just no way to do that. And so it seems to me that we've got a tempest in a teapot on that issue. He is president. He is the leader of the party.
Morton said he couldn't find anything left to do here and is returning to Washington. Neil Strauser, CBS News, Orlando, Florida.
Among the Democrats, fellow Southerners George Wallace and Jimmy Carter are vying for the Floridian support, and Henry Jackson has campaigned hard in areas around Miami. More after this.
Come see, there's good news round the corner. Goodyear, wherever you are. Goodyear, good and close to home for more Goodyears in your car.
To help you get more Goodyears in your car, your nearby Goodyear service store is featuring a lube, oil, and filter package for just $8.88. This includes complete chassis lubrication, up to 5 quarts of major brand 10W30 oil, and a new filter. Now only $8.88.
Goodyear tire, Goodyear service car. More Goodyears in your car.
Hello, all you food fans. Denny Bracken here with that great Italiano chef, Mike, the Neapolitan nabob boy Roy himself. Got a Mediterranean meal, I take it, for you tomorrow on the cook thing over CBS. What's on your pasta platter?
No pasta tomorrow, Denny. We're making a perfectly delightful eggplant parmigiano that'll feed the whole family. It'll leave a lot of lira in your pocketbook, too.
Oh, pretty clever, Big Dad. I got the mozzarella and the parmesan tomorrow, friends. Listen for Mike's Italian special on the cook thing here on CBS.
Latest congressional efforts in the energy crisis, Energy Chief Frank Zarb charges, are like moving around the furniture on the deck of the Titanic. Zarb is opposed to congressional plans to create a new government agency to collect energy data. His view, there's already enough data and not enough action.
What I want to see done is the actual implementation of either the president's program or somebody else's alternative, which will really work. The president's program will make us self-sufficient in 10 years. If we don't implement that, we have to implement some other measures that will actually decrease our dependence on foreign oil. That means conservation or additional production.
Zarb says figures on energy supply and demand already being maintained by his office are accurate and sufficient. In the Hearst trial, it's now the prosecution's turn to put its psychiatrists on the stand to characterize Miss Hearst's behavior after her kidnapping. The first of these witnesses, Dr. Joel Fort, described the defendant as a willing participant in the bank robbery she's charged with, and added that he believed Miss Hearst was not a soldier, but what he termed a queen in the Symbionese Liberation Army. Police are trying to locate a State Department official whose mother, wife, and 3 children were found beaten to death in North Carolina. Authorities say Bradford Bishop Jr., who is Assistant Chief of Special Trade Activities in the State Department's Economics Section, has not been at work for a week. North Carolina officials indicated that Bishop's family members had been killed in the Washington suburbs where they lived, and the bodies then brought to North Carolina. A bomb went off in the doorway of the offices housing the Czechoslovak and Soviet National Airlines in New York. There was extensive damage, but no one was injured. More after this.
You're listening to the beginning of something. An automobile commercial? No. As a matter of fact, it's the beginning of a new phase in a man's life. A man who looks different, moves differently, speaks differently, because he was born with cerebral palsy. The new phase in his life began when he started the engine of that car and drove off with his brand new operator's license in his pocket. His name is Joe Elko, man with cerebral palsy, college student, and now automobile driver. It upsets some people to see Joe get into that car. In fact, it upsets some people to see him at all. That's because they don't understand that although Joe may look different, inside he's no different than anyone else. He and United Cerebral Palsy are looking forward to the day when everyone will understand. In the meantime, Joe joins us in hoping you'll give generously to United Cerebral Palsy. They had a hand in helping him become what he is today, a man with a future.
California Congressman James Corman and his wife Patty are ending their marriage, apparently over Mrs. Corman's determination to run for Congress herself. She was not planning to run against her husband, but against Representative Barry Goldwater Jr. in the district next door to Corman's. Mrs. Corman's lawyer said that when she announced her decision, Congressman Corman sent her a letter on stationery from the Ways and Means Committee, of which he's a member. The letter, said the lawyer, told Mrs. Corman of ways and means of getting a divorce. This is Eric Engberg, CBS News.
Time at KIXI now, 6 minutes past 11.
I'm Ben Franklin. And once again, I quote from the wisdom of Poor Richard's Almanac, on cotton versus silk. Some people say that silk is too expensive for a frontier people, but cotton, wool, and flax all require a great deal of good land. Mulberry trees, on which silkworms feed, may be planted as hedgerows so that no extra land is required. If we can get those industrious silkworms to work for us, it will be cheaper for an artisan in Pennsylvania to take off his leather apron and to wear one made of silk. And now, some wisdom from a modern source.
Need insurance? See the insurance store. Insurance is our main business, not just some sideline. So with one stop, you'll find just about every kind of insurance and a choice of leading insurance companies, like Continental Insurance. For your nearest insurance store, just see an agent listed under the Continental Insurance Soldier in the Yellow Pages.
24 hours a day, CBS News, and bright and beautiful music, KIXI.